What's up, everybody, and welcome down to another episode of Zetro's Toxic Vault. And we have a return guest with us today. And, you know, it's one of those things where the pandemic right now has kind of shut us down. So I'm going to keep getting all the Bay Area people I can get in. And rejoining us again is Mr. Scott Holderby from Mordrin.
Hello, everybody.
How are you? Good to have you back in the vault.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you. Again, there's so many stories we've talked about this and so many things to talk about. Now we have something new to talk about, right? So there's some new things to bring up right now, and some good things actually that are going on in the middle of this world that is just kind of swimming in a swill right now for some reason. And I think we're
trying to make the best of what we got.
I think most of the musicians have, because like everybody's been doing the remote jams. I don't know if you've seen. I've been a part of a couple, and so. But I mean, I remember doing about over a year ago. Yeah. I got a call with a bunch of other guys, and it was cool. So I think it was Andy Galleon, right? And Craig LeCicero and
Gary Wentz.
Dave White. That's right.
Nikki Black.
That's right. Nikki Black was there as well. I'm glad your memory was better than. We all went in. Was that everybody?
I'm trying to think. Who? I don't want to leave anybody off, because then.
I know. Then they go, you know. Well, thanks. Like, yeah, you know, I'm taking a disclaimer right now. I remember the two that I said.
I was definitely there, but we did take a trip to the pickup there.
That was. We always take a trip. You know me. We're always taking a trip to the goddamn pickup. So, we did this backup vocal, and we now have fruition. Right? Is that
That's
true?
Right.
So we have a new Mordrin record. Talk about that, Scott. Talk about how excited you are, and talk about the lineup, because it's pretty much. The OGs, except one, I think, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Go.
Well, so I am definitely very excited. We've been working on this record for quite a long time. And so to finally have it be in the can, mastered, and ready to go. So we put out an EP, which what happened was we recorded all these songs, and then we went to go press the LP, or, you know, master it for the LP. The engineer was like, yeah, you've got a lot more material here than you could fit on a record. You're going to have to cut some songs. So we're like, okay, how many songs? So we ended up cutting four songs, and we're like, well, let's just put that on an EP, and just why cut stuff when you could just add to it?
Well, especially if you like it and you're happy with how it came out.
I love it, yeah.
Okay, so how long is the record now then? If the actual LP is how long then would be?
So I think it comes out to like 40-something minutes.
Uh-huh.
See, there's different levels you could do on vinyl, where if you put longer tracks on there, and it goes over a certain amount of minutes, like 50-something minutes. Like, think of an earlier Metallica record with the longer.
Uh-huh.
Those would be of a lower quality on vinyl. So we kind of opted for the higher quality, put less songs on the album itself and the EP to sort of accommodate the length, which gives it a higher quality on playback.
So now... you can get the EP now. It's out now.
And
when was it released?
I want to say 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, so but really it fresh.
It's really fresh, and we're still waiting on the vinyl to arrive. It was supposed to arrive last week. So you could pre-order it on vinyl.
But
now.
Digitally, if you wanted to go. If I want to go to iTunes, it's there right
and
now.
And we have CDs as well.
And so you can go. And where are we going to get that?
Well, we have mordred.company.site, I think is the thing.
Okay, we're going to put that, and I'm going to have Wayne shoot that. Wayne's going to shoot that graphic right here.
Get any kind of merch you want. We got a whole bunch of stuff.
Cool. You know. Older Mordrin LPs and that sort of thing?
Not at this time.
Really?
Yeah. The older Mordrin LPs, though, have recently been, I don't know who did it, but they've recently put out on all the mediums.
Gee, don't you love how that happens?
Yeah.
I see Exodus stuff every once in a while. I didn't know that was back out again.
Yeah.
The Capitol catalog seemed to get cut off, and then all of a sudden it appeared.
It's funny how those things happen, and they don't really contact you.
Yeah, nobody called you and says, hey, guess what, you guys?
Here's your 46 cents you got from streaming this month.
Guess what? I know. Wow, they're reluctant to do that. So talk about the lineup. Talk about getting back together with pretty much the original guys and being able to do this. And what is the atmosphere like now that you're older and more, I don't know, wiser,
more
I guess
refined,
when you say wiser,
maybe?
Refined. I mean, I'd like to consider myself still an immature jerk, so you know
I
what
don't
I mean?
Know. I'm like a fine bottle of wine.
Okay, good. Well, then I'm glad Scott Holderby feels that.
Or maybe whiskey. You gotta okay, age the whiskey a little
whiskey,
bit.
Whiskey, yeah, right? Some good whiskey. So talk about that.
All right. So it was, it's been a while since we've been playing together again, but I'm trying to remember how we actually got the idea to hook up and start playing again.
Was it like the rest of the Bay Area was kind of, I mean, everybody's kind
I
of
say it was
coming first, back and it seems right for everybody. And at the time now, because I remember a fan telling me.
Oh, no, wait. I totally remember now. We Danny White had been living in New York for quite some time and he came out for a visit. We hadn't played with him in ages. We got together for a jam with our old drummer from many, many, many years ago, Slade Anderson.
Uh-huh.
And he knew some of the real old songs. And we just got together and played out at our friend's place in San Rafael. Took some pictures, put it on Facebook or whatever at the time. And people were like, well, this is great. What are you guys doing? And we're like, oh, no, we're just jamming, whatever. And so a couple of our friends from over in the UK we're like, well, what would it take to get you over here to jam over here for us? We're like, well, some plane tickets, place to stay, like whatever. And they're like, okay, let's see what we can do. And they came back and they're like, well, we got one better. We put together a tour with the band Furion that's doing quite well over here right now. And we'd love for you guys to come over and play.
And what year is this?
I want to say 2014.
It's 2014.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So we were like, okay, we did a... you know, one of those campaigns where you beg for money, please send us money. We're poor musicians and we really want to just do one.
You mean an online thing, like a, yeah, like a GoFundMe type? They call that GoFundMe now, but I don't think it was GoFundMe back then. Give me your money, please.
One of those things. It was like, please. Yeah. So anyhow, we managed to raise up enough money to buy the tickets. We went over there. We did the tour. It was freaking great.
How many dates?
Like 14, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
So 14 days in England, 14 date tour in England. Well, even 14 days, even if you didn't do full.
Yeah, I'm thinking we might have done a couple less dates in 14, 10, but 10, yeah, we were gone for a couple of weeks.
That, I'll tell you what, 14, that's a lot of shows to do in the UK. English people will, English bands will tell you that's a lot. And you were out with Furion?
We were supposed to be, and at the last minute, the singer came down with these nodule things. So at the last minute, we had a different band come in and play with us. But we still did the tour. The drummer still loaned us his drum kit and came on tour with us.
Really?
And, man, it was a blast. It was so much fun. And just to be able to play again like that was a trip.
I know this.
You know, it's been years since I've done any kind of thing like this. I've been doing music all these years, but nothing close to Mordred.
Right.
You know, it's like all these different other kind of styles. And I mean, I play Western swing, rock.
That's great.
And soul music and garage rock. All
you nothing wrong with
things.
Soul music, baby.
That's right.
Soul music. So now let's talk about the hard part. Talk about trying to release this material in a pandemic era where the record labels are putting the brakes on everything right now. And anything that they even have remotely that's finished or they're all putting halt on. I mean, I know I'm with Exodus with Nuclear Blast and they're doing that on some of the projects.
Yeah,
there. So you know what,
so
talk about that. I mean, well, I'm about Exodus about ready to record a new album, so I don't know what's gonna happen
all
here
right,
for me.
So
what am I in for?
What I would say to you is you got a pretty good foundation to be able to still release, and Exodus will move forward. People that like Exodus will be able to purchase your record, and it's just going to be a longer wait time for vinyl.
Right.
The pandemic, and things are at a slower pace. Shipping, a lot of things have slowed down quite a bit, but you'll still be able to put your record out, and I will still be able to purchase it when it comes out. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing goes with the Mordred EP we just put out. We're pre-ordering vinyl now, but we're expecting, it was supposed to come in last week, and they just delayed it by another week. So
the production process is what you're saying is really
it's the
a lot
actual
slower.
Production process, yeah. Uh-huh. So everything on our end, we're still able to do. You still have mastering engineers
right.
working from home because, you know, that's what they did anyway. studios are still open. You just gotta, you know, take safety precautions and whatnot. I love the way you guys are doing it, just getting a big house up at the lake and
old school
the record. That's
old
the
school
way to do it, right?
No no time restraints. I can't remember if there was an Exodus record where I was like, okay, you gotta start. This is the finished date.
No.
We gotta move, we gotta get going.
There's a set time.
There's a vision. You want it out there, you need to get it out, and this is the thing. It's like and now there's like
It's broken down even like way more incrementally than that. It's like Zetro, you have exactly 4 days at 14 hours a day to cut every single thing. If you're not feeling right, it doesn't matter. It's time to cut it.
Well, actually, Blood In, Blood Out was, I auditioned on a Thursday. I found out Friday that they were going to go with me. The world found out Sunday. That Tuesday, I was in already starting to sing the tracks for the album because they had to be done. And I think it was like
month and a half,
like
probably
June, and it needed to be done. The album needed to be done like by the 8th of July, and we're like June 10th, and I haven't even laid one. I haven't even heard anything yet, and I'm like, okay. So it was a little, that recording, I would say, out of most of them, were nerve wracking because I had to like really focus on those songs for the
And
17 days, I think it took, or
it's
less
hard
than that.
To get them down in 17 days.
Well, I just
how
try
many
to
did
think
you have
like.
To do? Like 10, 11, 12,
like 12,
something like
there
that.
Was like 12, and there was like, you know, it didn't, and but you know, I was rehearsed and ready to go and do it, but this is easier now. Now I'm, I'll be able to go, you know what, let's change that part, let me try it this way, you know. There was like, gotta get to, let's go, that sounds killer, Zet, let's go, move on. So,
yeah, you get
talk about that.
Yeah,
I mean,
so with I feel the same way about how we were able to approach this Mordred thing. Being that we weren't under the pressure or under the gun to get something out really quick, you know, does it really matter when it comes out as long as it's good, right? So what we did is we took the time, and really the songwriting process took the longest. So we wrote a ton of songs, but there's always like, I don't know, that one's just not hitting.
Was it the same core of writers that was writing originally?
Well,
I mean, Danny and Jim, and you know,
we have the same people minus our drummer. Our drummer Gannon Hall wasn't able to come in and do it when we got back together. He was living someplace else, and for whatever reason, and Gannon, a lot of people don't know this, but he was one of the main writers in the early stages of Mordred. So we missed him for sure, and his input. Because he wrote a lot of lyrics and stuff back in the day.
Wow.
And, you know, that's not really the norm for bands. And
Neil Peart.
Well, yeah, of course.
Are some exceptions. That drummers that just write great lyrics, you know.
I think that might have been his inspiration. I'm pretty sure I can safely say that. But, well, not having him there, we didn't have that part of the writing team. So, yeah, Danny's always written songs, great songs. I write songs. What we sort of do is we write a tune and then we kind of present it to the fellas in the band. And they are like, or, oh, no, yeah, oh, wait, I can make that into something. And it either takes off or it doesn't. So we had a lot of those that didn't take off. And so finally we whittled it down to like, I don't know, 14, 15 songs, something like that. And we're like, all right, we're ready to record. Let's go in and start recording it. So we just, like I said, it's the same
and
lineup
this is
that
Danny.
We had.
Danny did it all because Danny's, that's what he's been doing for the last.
Danny did all what?
He did all the recording, right?
Actually, we did it with Bill Storkson. You know, Leah's husband, Bill.
Yeah.
So we went to his place in San Rafael. That's actually where we went and just did our jam. So when we were ready to record, we're like, hey, bro, the studio's still happening out there. And he's like, oh, yeah. So we went down, did all the drums. He's got a great space for doing drums, super live room. And just, it's just a dream working in there. And it was just really nice and easy. And like I said, Gannon, our drummer, wasn't able to do it, so we got Jeff Gomes that played in Fungo Mungo and Merv and all these other great Bay Area bands, and is just a great drummer and a great friend of mine. And so it was we were already, you know, hanging out and stuff, working together. He's a carpenter and contractor as well. I know we're all blue collar boys around here.
I still have blue collar. I got 20 years in there, baby.
That's right. I got my 20
years
job.
I got 20 years pin inside. And then they came. Then the mothership called back. And then now I didn't have to. I don't haven't had to do that for 6 years.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, but I get to concentrate on music. But
knowing each other, it's funny because in the Bay, even though we might not even be playing at the time, we still stick together. I still know all the people that I knew back in the day, and we still run into each other or work together, or, you know, it's really a kind of family vibe around here.
I agree.
So already being tight with Jeff, I was like, bro, you want to try doing some more? He's like, ah, fuck yeah. What do I have to do? I was like, we're about to go on tour. He's like, what is it, Christmas?
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. So we had a whole core group dialed in. Danny came, stayed at my house for maybe 3 weeks before the tour. We just practice. And I think we did one show in town and then split, did our thing. And, oh my God.
How'd it go?
I can't tell you how fun it was to do it, you know, to get back out on the road and do it. I know you're spoiled. You've been doing it for a while.
Well,
I hadn't been doing it for a minute.
I didn't do it for 10 years for a while, remember?
Yeah, right. That's right.
I sat out. That's when we saw each other out there on the trades. I wasn't back with the mothership at that point.
Yeah.
So I know
a satellite.
I know what it feels like to kind of get right back into it again, you know, and it was so much fun for me. The other guys were ripping on me like, he's just got his, like, you know, excited because, you know, it's all new to him again. You know what I mean? Watch, 2 years, he'll be all, nah.
Yeah, he'll
you
be jaded again.
Yeah, you know what? 6 years later, I'm still, when are we going? Really? Where? I'm still as excited as I was, man. And I guess maybe because it's more of a clear head now, you know what I mean, than back there.
I mean, I have to say, I know a lot of people are nostalgic for the early days and seeing the bands in the early days, but I feel personally that I'm a better singer and player than I ever was.
Amen.
Because, you know, I mean,
so
I was 16 years old when I did my first Mordred recording.
Right. Well, I mean, when I got into it, I was like, I could do this. I'm just going to sound like this, and then I can do it like this. And then I had to learn how to sound like this and sound like that. I didn't think it was, you know what I mean? So.
Well, there's a difference between doing it in your friend's garage and doing it with a nice microphone in a studio, compressor, preamp, whatever you're rolling.
No, there used to be the beatbox and be like, ready, play, go. Honestly,
yeah,
I wrote, you know, obviously the lyrics for Legacy, the first record, I pretty much wrote all the lyrics. And all you people, that is how I wrote them. We took a beatbox to Legacy practice, and I put that in front, and it was like, okay, Alex, Eric, you ready? Louie, you ready? Guys, ready? Here we go. Greggy, ready? Okay, go. And that's how I took, they do the song, Burn Offerings, Raining Waters, cassette tape, play, rewind, fast forward, play, rewind, fast forward. So I'm sure this
and
is.
Let me just say, you know, I'm not just because I'm talking to you, but that is one of my favorite eras and one of the best demo tapes I've ever had. And my kid actually dragged it out of grandma's house the other day, and he's like, Dad, look what I found.
Wow.
This Legacy demo. Yeah,
Legacy demo one.
And then he tells me he's got all this because, you know, the kids, they have the phones these days and they're looking stuff up. He goes, you know, that's the best selling demo tape of all time.
All time, yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, no shit.
Yes.
I'm like, well,
Guinness Book of World Records.
And it came on a 90-minute metal.
Yeah, we did everything. We went to Prairie Sun to record the demo. Who did that? There were bands doing records at Prairie Sun. We're like, we're gonna do this the right way. We're just gonna spend the money and
well, now come to think of it, we did our demo.
Did you
to the one right before we did our record at Prairie Sun also.
Our take was, well, Exodus just did their Bonded by Blood up there, you know what I mean? Good enough for them, good enough for us, you know what I mean?
Now that I remember it, when we did our first record up there, didn't you and Chuck and I'm trying to, like, Rob and Andy and, like, a bunch of people came up and did backups on that record?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. At That's the Chicken Ranch.
At the we love the Chicken Ranch.
Fuck yeah.
That was great. Mooka. Remember Mooka?
Oh, yeah. Mooka's still there.
Is he really? Yes, I got to go up there. And I got to get him on the show.
I'm going up there. I don't know what the date is, but I'm going up there because they're doing a podcast from out there.
Oh,
talking
nice.
About some of these early bands. So, shit. If
fuck
you
all
go
the
up
Keel.
There,
all the shrapnel shit was done up there, man.
Yeah, when we were doing our record, it was
Steeler
Marty
record
Friedman
with Yngwie and fucking.
What was it? Marty Friedman and Jason Becker, and they had this band Cacophony.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
We're up there for a month and a half. They're up there for a month and a half. And, you know, of course, it's just us. So we're hanging every day. And those guys are fucking badass.
They are badass.
Yeah.
They
it was at that time, too.
That's why they were what they, that's why they were the cacophony. I know. Little and, and I thought that that was
these
old.
These guys were monsters.
Yeah, they were great. I thought that that was old, Scotty. These guys are like old men. They're like 1920, you know?
Yeah, I know, I know.
Shredders, we're like 17. Come on, they're like old. Anybody who's 30? God, over the hill.
Yeah,
you're old. How could you even wear spandex at 30? What's wrong with you?
Now to be 30 again, right?
Right. We'll be right back with Scott Holderby. And we're back with Mr. Scott Holderby. Good to have you back in the vault. Now, you said everybody but the drummer is the original, you know. So talk about everybody that's in the band that's back. Give everybody a shout out. Everybody that is the original Mordred from when you were did it. I remember when I first got to play with Mordred, Steve was the singer. Remember
those days? Yes, yes.
Then the original inception of Mordred, you know, was.
I saw that show and I had no idea.
He used to wear big
hat
swords and.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to dress the part, actually.
Yeah, so Mordred has gone through a good fair amount of people over the years. And of course, our first singer, Steve Skates, was, you know, a very individual kind of cat. He did his own thing. And
He was very unique.
Yeah.
Very unique.
I have a lot of respect for that.
So do I.
However you look at it. And Mordred and Death and everybody play together upstairs at the Mab there. I think you guys were on that show. It might have been Possessed. I can't remember.
It was Legacy Possessed and Mordred.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I went to that show and I had watched the bands. I had no idea that
that was the first time I saw them.
8 months or whatever, I'd be like singing for this band. So that was a trip. And during that lineup, it was Art Laboon, Eric Lannon, Alex Gerald. I think Danny White was playing with them, but I'm not sure. It could have still been Jim Sanguinetti. Funny, all these names kind of float back around in there.
Wild. Now, Alex is really the only one that did not make it back on this one, right?
So Alex hasn't been playing. He went off and did other things.
Saw him in an
really
airport last year.
You did?
And I didn't even recognize him.
No kidding.
And so we're talking, and then he goes, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Me and him and Lee Altus were talking. Exodus was going somewhere. And I said, Lee, I know that guy. How do I know him? He goes, that's Alex from Mordred. He used to have the long mall. And then he came back and is like fucking.
And then you're
the Rolodex
oh,
is
shit.
Like, and I'm like, are you not playing? He's like, nah, not really playing anymore. It's like, for me, whenever anybody that I knew went through this thing with, and they tell me they're not playing, I kind of like get sad. I go, you're not? Why? You know?
Yeah.
You were so much a part of what you knew. You were so into it, and it was so much a part of our lives. And it still is so much a part of mine and yours. How come it isn't for somebody? I have that hard problem of going, how come it's not for somebody else, you know?
But I know everyone else's path is different. And for him, he got into lawyering. And he was doing entertainment law, and then he's doing
good
some other kind of law now.
Well,
so it's not like we should feel sad for him.
But no,
actually should be hitting him up the next time we do
that
loan to go.
Can I get a grant? I need some new toys for my set. You think I can get a grant? That's actually amazing.
Also, anyhow, that early lineup that played with you evolved a couple of years later, or less than a couple of years. I was singing.
Right.
Danny White was playing guitar with Alex. Sanguinetti was down in L.A. at the time. And we got Gannon, who stayed with us throughout the whole period of us touring. And we... Actually, Jim Sanguinetti did not play on the first record. We had another.
He came in for a tour, though, right? He came and joined the band during that album cycle.
There was something that happened, And I wasn't there between the guitar players, and one ended up leaving. And so we immediately got Sanguinetti. And it's a funny story with that, because he's down in L.A. going to GIT, having a great old time, living in an apartment with a couple of roommates, and just, it's debauchery down
there. Oh, yeah, L.A. was the great, at that time.
And this was like, we're talking like probably 88 or
somewhere
in that neighborhood.
Believe
so
me.
It was popping. And so we're like, Jim, dude, the space opened up. You're in the band. And he's like, yeah, cool. And we're like, dude, you know, you can come up with us now. We're going to go on tour. And he's like, Yeah, I'm still going to GIT, and you know, I mean, I got a pretty good life down here. And we're like, dude, come on. So we finally talk him into like, and he's like, but then he loved it, of course, you know,
sure.
You go to GIT so you could be in a band, so you right. could go on tour, and you know.
Yeah, but the LA was
it
just
worked out, but he was even like, it's kind of nice down here.
Even our home, San Francisco, was fun, but anytime,
yeah,
even Exodus went to play in LA in the 86s, 87s, 80s, 99.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
There was some shit going on. And we were a thrash band, let alone the hair stuff that went on in those days. The girls were all crazy.
We went down to L.A.
Crazy.
I think we did Tijuana and
oh,
LA
yeah, Iguanas,
and
yeah.
San Francisco. Yeah, it was like, I think Tijuana was like New Year's Eve. Cause
yes!
I remember going.
That's
like,
right.
So we had Paz on stage, and then he had a blender.
Yeah.
It's like, and then he like, and be like pouring us drinks.
Mr. Hankey.
Hey, Mr. Hankey.
Hi-de-ho. Yeah, I remember that now. We that's right. It was New Year's Eve, 19.
Probably 90.
90 to 91. That's yeah, right. It was 90 to 91. It was us, and we did L.A., San Diego, and it was a three-date tour. It was Exodus
and
Mordred.
San Francisco.
Yes,
also.
Yes, that's right. It was.
I remember I wore those broken mirror pants
right.
I had, and I just sliced
right. It was
my
the
hands
Warfield.
Up.
Right. That's right. It was for Impact is Imminent tour for us. That's right. That is right. Wow, what a great memory. Well, hey man,
what a great memory. That's funny for two stoners.
Two stoners.
We can remember some stuff, right?
Thanks for coming in and talking New Mordred. Tell everybody where
pleasure.
They can go get it and what label and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so right now we have only available.
And Wayne's going to put up the graphic right here.
And
he's not going to forget. Like, I'll have to call him sometimes and go, Wayne, when I point to the screen and I go, Wayne's going to put up the graphic here, and then the graphic doesn't show up, I look like dunce cap, see? So that's why when you see episodes get pulled for a couple hours and then all of a sudden they appear back.
And they're perfect.
That's him. That's him right there. You don't ever get to see him, just barely, but he. Him.
So what you're saying is he always achieves for perfection.
Well, eventually
when,
get it.
When it doesn't quite make the perfection, you pull it a couple hours for some perfection.
So that's all right. We get
perfection.
I was a couple of weeks ago, we did that. I called him up and said, hey, I pointed to the screen and went for the graphic and didn't come up. Makes me look like Captain Cosmic or something like that. Well, I can't make it appear, so.
Where are we going to put it, though? I don't want to take up, you know.
I don't know. He'll find
it up here
somewhere.
Down below.
He's going to put it up there, so go get
somewhere
this.
Somewhere over that way?
Go get this.
Go get this Mordred record.
You could probably
right here.
Get it down here where the graphic is going to be around here.
I think it's here. I think
I
the
usually
Mordred
put
record
it up there.
Here. It's really
sometimes
big.
It depends
you got to get a really big turntable to play this record because it's
big.
Really big and it's really heavy.
Oh, see, look, now I'm knocking candles over. It's so big.
Mordred.company.site, I believe, is the place to get it. I'm
okay.
So not like a computer
guy. Well, that's okay. We'll make sure that we get that right on the graphic so all you guys can get your Mordred.
Yes,
and
very soon we're going to have an LP. We just don't have the release date for the long player.
And very soon we're going to have a tour when they have a vaccine because none of us are going on the road until something happens.
I hope so, dude. I
believe
hope,
me. I'm like this. I'm like,
I don't know how many tours I got in me, but I hope I got one of them with you.
Well, I tell you what, I like tell everybody, if everybody knows who Biff Bifford is from Saxon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be like Biff. I'm doing it till the end.
Yes.
I'm doing this forever so I can be like Biff. I can have you back in?
Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. No problem. Always.
My pleasure.
Go get the new Mordred.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys soon in the vault. I remember, leave me comments on this stuff. Tell me where you've seen him or what you guys' experience is with Mordred. Obviously, subscribe to my channel and share this so that every other person gets to enjoy this, you know, great time we have to, you know, spend with Bay Area musicians and guys like Scott Olderby, who have great stories to tell from the day for all you guys that, you know, we wouldn't get this anywhere else. So
that's
keep
true.
Doing that. And
we've been around a long time. We've seen a lot of things. It's just jogging the old memory. That's the only thing.
It's kind of getting gray. It's getting gray. Anyway, you guys, we'll see you in the vault real soon.
See you in the vault.